Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, always appreciate chatting with you. Elliot, the people in Nashville are concerned. They're worried. They are worried about UC Soros. He's been playing not as great over the past couple of games, over the past couple of weeks. And, of course, I understand that Predators fans are incredibly spoiled with what the production that Preds fans have gotten from UC Soros and, of course, from Pecorine, that the Preds fans in this town have spoiled goalie performances. But is there any bit of, you know, truth to maybe Preds fans should be concerned about UC Soros and really this team as a whole?
Well, you know, obviously, I think Carolyn, everybody goes through slumps, and he's been going through a slump. But I've also seen, you know, Nashville is a team that Edmonton has absolutely owned over the last little while. Calgary is a team that has given you trouble over time. And I saw he go into Calgary a couple weeks ago and just almost single-handedly win that game. You guys lost, but he was really good. And, I think Soros is – everybody goes through slumps. I don't – of all the things you could worry about there, that would be the one of the least things that I would be worried about is Soros's ability. He would have to be bad for a longer period than this for me to get worried about what he's doing. So I generally feel pretty good about Soros. I think the one thing it's just a reminder of right now, Carolyn, is that if he's not good, it's really hard for you guys to win. Really hard. Like, it's hard to overcome your top goalie having a bad night in general. I just think where you guys are in your growth, it's even harder.
And I think that's kind of what is exposing it a little bit more, is this team wins games by UC Soros being an absolute Superman. And when he's not Superman, it feels a little bit more obvious. But to the point about that, you know, with this team winning and losing, I'm kind of stuck between two different schools of thought. One of, look, the coach and the general manager told us it's not going to be easy. It's not always going to look pretty. They're going through a whatever you want to call it, rebuild, retool, whatever. And on the other side, it's, well, they brought in some of these veteran players to help them win as many games as possible. While the expectation wasn't necessarily playoffs, that surely was the goal. So what do you think is a fair way to evaluate this hockey team and the struggles that they've had through 15 games?
Well, you know, Carolyn, I think that, you know, I look at at a year like this. There's at the beginning of the year, there's always optimism, and I think there was in Nashville, but I think there was also a realism, and the realism is, what are we, okay? And I think it was hard to tell what you guys were going to be. Like, I always judge myself by what I say at the beginning of the year. That is the standard I hold myself to. Like, I picked Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup this year, and about a week ago, I was really starting to sweat profusely. Like, I'm going to look really bad here. What I said about Nashville at the beginning of the season was, honestly, I don't know. I looked at your division. I saw two teams that were the class of the division, Colorado and Dallas. I saw Minnesota being on the next tier, and I knew Chicago was starting all over again. They were at the bottom. And I said, there are four teams, Winnipeg, Arizona, Nashville, and St. Louis. I have no idea what these teams are going to be. I see a best-case scenario, and I see a worst-case scenario. Now, we're 5 weeks in, and I think you could be looking at this, and you could be saying, uh-oh, like, we've got a concern here. Now, I know you went out and you got pros. Now, the one thing I think about the guys you got, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, he's a pro. Luke Shen, even though he's hurt right now, he's a pro. You've got to have pro. Like, you've got guys like Parsonen. You've got guys like Evangelista. You've got guys like Tomasino, even though he struggled a bit. You're teaching them to be pros, too. And you need those guys around them. And you also need to insulate them a bit to the point where you know, they're not exposed in places where they can't play yet. And I know, especially with Parsons, you're trying to figure out where exactly that is. So I don't have a problem with those signings. Like, those aren't contracts that are going to hurt you. The one thing I look at it now is, and we'll see what happens over the next little bit, if it turns out that, you know, this is kind of where you're going to be this year, then I think, you know, the one thing I look at is, even if you're losing games, are your young players getting better? Like, between now and the end of the year, that's the number one thing I look at. And the second thing I look at is, hey, if you get a great draft pick and you get a high, real high pick and it can help your team get better, nobody likes to go through that, but it's not the end of the world if it happens.
Now, Elliot, in listening to your the podcast, you were, because you brought up Edmonton as you were speaking just a couple of minutes ago, but they end up moving away from their coach, Chris Knobloch, and also another coach on that staff. But this is a team that had 109 points last year. Obviously, this year after 15 games, I know they're basically at the bottom of the Pacific in regards to their record. But why would you fire a head coach who has a winning percentage over 60%, as I think that's what you said in the podcast? But why would you go ahead and fire a coach knowing that you still have a lot of season left?
Well, the reason that it happened there, Derek, is that they can't afford to have a bad year. And I think that's basically what happened. I think there were a few different things that combined there to make a really bad situation that they felt they had to address. Number one, they're, you know, like, even though my Stanley Cup pick could be, is looking really dumb right now, I wasn't the only person who did it. There were a lot of people that picked Edmonton, and it was for a reason. They were expected to go for the cup. Number two, you know, they have Leon Draisaitl going into the last year of his contract next year, and Connor McDavid had 2 years left. And I think they said with those guys in that situation, they cannot afford a terrible year. They cannot, because then it throws your ability to re-sign all these guys into question. So that played a huge role in it. And secondly, they now have a new person atop their hockey operations department, similar to you guys do in Barry Trotz. And I think he looked at it like, okay, there's someone I really like here. Like, Jeff Jackson, before he became the CEO of Oilers Hockey, he was a player agent, Derek. And when I would talk to him, he would always talk up Chris Knobloch. He had a lot of players play for him in Erie in the Ontario Hockey League in junior, and he was a big fan. So when Chris Knobloch got that job, I was not in the least bit surprised. So I think it became a perfect storm where their situation got off to a terrible start. And this is where it, and they were like, we cannot afford this. They tried to trade for a goalie. I think they were told, for example, your guy was not available, and they couldn't do it. And they were like, we have to do something. And sometimes, as you know, firing the coach is the easiest thing to do. So I think for Jay Woodcroft, it was just a bad losing streak at the worst possible time.
Now, with that being said, do you think they still could potentially go out and get themselves a goalie? Because, I mean, frankly, as much as I don't want UC Soros to go anywhere, and I probably would never go to a prayer game. No, I'm just playing. but when you get in a situation like that, if UC hasn't picked up his game, then is that something that both teams can probably, you know, come back to the table on?
The impression I really got hearing, I think I've told you before that I believe that Barry Trotz has told Soros's reps before that they would like to keep him. Mm-hmm. And I think that message was conveyed, that they would like to keep Soros. Now, Derek, like, if he does this for 50 more games, then all of a sudden, you know, we've got a real problem here. But all things being equal, I think everybody figures that it's going to sort itself out, and all things, it's going to sort itself out, and he's going to get signed to an extension. So I just think that something would really have to change in order for Saros not to be extended by the Predators. Like, it really, like, it sounds to me like their plan is to keep him, and he's going to be their guy. I do think Edmonton will continue to look for other goalies. You know, their other goalie that they kept, Skinner, Stuart Skinner, he's won three games in a row now. So if they feel that he can handle it, then maybe they go for, like, a not necessarily a Saros type, but a backup type. That might be something they can do. It might change what they look for, but I'm going to continue thinking they're going to look for goalies.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. So, Elliot, we've got the circus coming to town, Connor Bedard, and we talked to you about this the first week of the season, and it's probably cooled down a little bit on the daily glare, but what hasn't cooled down, he has played really, really well. I think we're all very curious, of course, especially with the rivalry between the Blackhawks and the Predators, what it looks like here Saturday afternoon. Kind of give people a backdrop of how the Blackhawks have played so well.
I think for one thing, the kid's really good. Like, he's a really talented kid. And I think that at times I was really worried, Willie, that he didn't have enough around him. And I still sometimes worry about that. Like, you need good players up and down the roster to be successful. But what he can do is he can create his own shot. Like, not every scorer can get from one end of the ice to the other or take the puck 10 strides and create something. He can do that. And his shot is very deceptive. He is very good at disguising where he's going to shoot it. Now, there's a trend developing. He seems to like the right side of the net. Not the goalie's right side, but the shooter's right side. However, I find that great players like that, they'll find out a trend is developing and they'll do enough to get you away from thinking that. But the bottom line is he can score and he can find ways to score and he can decide what or disguise what he's doing. I'm a big fan, and I've only become even more of a fan every time I watch him play. Like, I think the other thing about that team is, they're not very deep, but they compete. Like, they play hard. They have a coach there in Luke Richardson who played 1,000 games in the NHL, and the way he did it was not because he was the best player, because he was a guy who competed really hard. And he basically tells those guys, if you're – like, sometimes we can live with the fact that you're not going to be successful – but we can't live with the fact that you can't compete. And the players there, if they know they play hard, they're going to get chances to stay in the lineup. And I think they understand that, and it works for them.
This will get the antennae up of Predator fans as well. People may not be aware. Corey Perry is now on the Blackhawks. If you had to list the five biggest villains in Predator history, Corey Perry is probably in the top five. And Elliot, as you know, he'd probably make the top five of a number of different teams,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But
they
went out. My point, I guess, is they tried to surround Bedard with some guys who have some time in the league. Nick Foligno comes to mind. Guys who are tough, guys who are going to maybe take a little heat off of him. And it looks like for the most part that's working as well as you could reasonably expect in the first year.
Well, the thing about Corey Perry, I understand why the Predators fans hate him. Like, if he wasn't on my favorite team, I would hate him too. I mean, there's no question about it. There's a reason, like I said, they call him the Worm. But if you saw him go back to Tampa earlier this week, there was a big ovation for him. The Lightning guys were clearly thrilled to see him, and they did a nice thing on the big screen for him. Like, Kevin Bieksa, who I work with, He played both with and against Perry, and when he played against him, he couldn't freaking stand him, and when he played with him, like, they're very tight. And the other thing, too, about Perry is, like, he's been around now for almost 20 years. Like, this is a guy who, if you're going to play for 20 years, it's because you love the game, right? And you love everything around it. And the other thing is, for like 14, 15 years, I have to check how many years it was. It's probably about 13, 14 years. He was in Anaheim, and now he's bounced around a bit. It was Montreal, then it was Tampa, and then it was Chicago. And a lot of guys don't like that. They're like, when you start to bounce around, they want no part of it. But he just wants to be in the game. So you want players, and Ryan O'Reilly is like this a lot too, and so is Shen. They just love hockey. They like being part of it. They love being around it. They don't. They know that when it's gone, it's really gone, and you never get that back. And he works on his game. Like, he competes hard, and he works on his game really well. So I know people hate Perry. I understand why people hate Perry. But if he was on your team or you knew him, you'd probably love him. The guy really loves hockey.
Elliot, big picture question here with Bedard coming in particular. You know, if you look down the road, we know the challenges really with all sports in regional TV. So it may be even more important to keep making gains in marketing the Stars. You mentioned before how Bedard has gone beyond the normal NHL media circles, which is a really good thing. And you've got these great up-and-coming Stars, like the Hughes brothers. They make great plays every night. The league's in a good place. How do you think they're doing in trying to keep moving the puck forward in that area?
Well, I think you can never stop. You know, one of the things I just think is really important is the personalities of the people. You have to have people that are willing to show their personalities and willing to be a little bit of fun. Like, and right now our whole world is about viral moments, right? You know, things like it's not always the best, but you know, I'm watching how many, like, Draymond Green gets into this fight with Rudy Gobert the other night, and there's 11 billion people watching it on Twitter. Like, it's crazy. And so you just need, I don't know if we want too many chokeholds in the NHL, but you just need to keep pumping out content and showing the in a lot of different, like, whether it's a crazy moment or it's a funny moment, just keep getting it out there. Just keep showing that you have people who are worth watching and worth supporting. The other thing I think about too, Will, and I was thinking about this week, is I think we need more. Remember the PGA years ago, they did a thing called These Guys Are Good. I think one of the things we have to do a better job at is understanding just how skilled you have to be to do the things these players can do. And I wish there was more just explaining how much talent they have to skate and shoot and do it all together and stick handle. I'd love to see more of that, because sometimes I think people look at it and say, I don't get how they can even do that. And I believe that if there was more explainers, I think it would rope more people in.
Elliot, I saw Elliot Friedman is with us. I saw that in the league meeting on Tuesday, they discussed adjustments to overtime rules. I am not in favor of getting rid of 3-on-3 hockey. I love some 3-on-3 hockey. What did they discuss, and what do you think comes next in the potential new overtime rules?
Well, I don't think they're going to get rid of 3-on-3, Carolyn. I don't think that's on the menu. But what I do think they're trying to say is there ways we can make it more entertaining? Like, the concern right now is a team gets the puck, they go into the offensive zone, they hold it for a bit, they don't like what they have, they want to make a change, so they pass the puck back and they go and regroup. That's what they want to change. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's no other sport, like soccer, you can pass it back to the goalie, but it, you know, that's a completely different game. Like, there's no other sport that kind of allows that. So,
right, like backcourt. Like, you can imagine in basketball if you could just throw it in the backcourt with no shot clock. That's kind of what it is in 3-on-3 overtime, and it can get a little...
Kind of just buy yourself some time.
Yeah, there's some times where it's a chess match and nothing's happening.
55, right. And nobody wants that. So, actually, Kellen, one of the things that was... They said they weren't thinking about making it longer, but I got a note from someone in one of the junior leagues... the BC, the British Columbia Junior Hockey League, and he told me that last year they switched from 5 minutes to 10, and the number, the percentage of games that went to a shootout has gone from 41% to 14%. And the other thing they told me about that was, because it's 10 minutes instead of five, you have to go deeper into your roster to play. And that can lead to, you know, more mistakes and things like that, which coaches really like. But, you know, I think they've talked about, do we do a shot clock? Do if you take the puck out, do you blow it dead and have to give up a D-zone draw? I don't think people are crazy for any more whistles, though. That's one of the problems with that. But they are looking for ideas from the players, the coaches, and everything. Are we concerned about the way this is going? And if the answer is yes, how do we fix it?
All right, Elliot, parting shot in the tweaking of the rules things. You guys, you and Jeff Merrick on your podcast, 32 Thoughts, I'm skipping the thought line. I'm skipping up the line, right, which is probably a low blow here. But
it happens.
You guys love suggestions of how you can do little things to add. And goal scoring is great, right? A lot of people look at a goalie's save percentage. If it's under 90, you're thinking, oh, man, they're really struggling. But the average save percentage is something like 902, 903. So it's...
Yeah, it's the lowest it's been in about 15 years.
Yeah. Yep. But here's another little tweak. We were talking about this in a recent game. Too many men on the ice or the goalie commits a penalty. Penalties in which the coach gets to choose who goes into the box for the team that took the penalty. Why did they do that and not let the other team say, okay, well, Derek, D-Mace is the best penalty killer on this team. I want D-Mace in the box. Why does their own team get to choose it and not the team that's going on the power play?
Willie, that's not bad. Like a bench minor kind of thing?
A bench minor or if it's a penalty on the goalie where the coach takes the guy that's not going to be on the penalty kill and or the last guy on the bench, okay, you go serve the 2 minutes. I think the other team should choose who goes in the box.
Willie, you got 31 more thoughts for me?
Okay, I'll work out. I'll text you off air. I'll text you off air. I got some thoughts.
I like that one. I like that one a lot.
Okay, take it to Merrick. Take it to your people. See what they say.
Willie serves as the commissioner for a few segments on this show. I think he could be NHL commissioner.
I think
that's
so
a long
too.
Way
off. Good ideas.
Commish Donick. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, appreciate you as always. We'll chat with you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best, and he joins our show every single Thursday. Let's get into your phones. Coming up next, everything is on the table. Titans, Vols, Preds, NFL, NHL as a whole. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.